Without further ado, let us go to Edmonton, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. We say good morning, good early morning to Pierre Maguire this morning. How are you doing, Pierre?
Very well, Jared. Good morning to you. Hello, Sean.
Good morning, Pierre.
Pierre, you had the late game last night between Minnesota and Vancouver. The Canucks bounced back with a 4-3 win. Minnesota with a couple of late goals. All I read about the game, and I only watched the first period, was that Vancouver was much better than they were in game one. What was your assessment on the Canucks' victory?
Oh, 100%. The young guys really needed to show up. Brock Besser was a lot better. He got his first NHL playoff goal. Elias Pettersson was a ton better, just dominated the puck when he had chances to do that. And I think that when you look at Bo Horvat and the way he played, he was very, very good. So their younger, better players were very, very good. It's kind of like out of that page that Claude Julien was talking about. You know, it's not about X's and O's. It's about how hard you want to compete. And those three young players in particular really wanted to compete hard last night. And they did a good job, and the rest of the team followed. So you know that Vancouver was much better last night.
Pierre, if you're a Canucks fan, do you just look at game one? Hey, young team, a lot of guys never have any experience. Hey, got that game, and real excited after watching game two and the improvement.
I would say that's part of it. I would say another part of it is Minnesota did not play as smart or as determined as they did in game number one. But I would say that Vancouver really made that a difference. They did compete harder. They did compete more wisely. So we'll see how it goes in game three on Thursday. But I would just say that, Vancouver won game two, and they won game two very, very comfortably.
And the Canucks did it without Tyler Toffoli, who has, it appears, some sort of foot injury, apparently spotted in the bubble in a walking cast. We have no word on whether it's a short-term or a long-term thing. But if he is out for any of the rest of the series, what kind of impact overall does that have potentially on the Canucks lineup?
Pretty significant, actually, because they also have some other issues, too. Last night they had players that got hurt during the game, hit with pucks in the head, not able to play. Michael Ferlin was on the roster ready to play and then couldn't play. So that's a problem. Dominic Roussel got hit right in the head with a puck last night. It was a dangerous day for pucks to the face or the head yesterday in the rink here in Edmonton. So, you had some injury situations that happened last night. So there's going to be some, differences in the Vancouver lineup. Now, mostly at the depth positions, not at the higher skilled positions, but nonetheless, they're going to have some differences. Jake Virtanen went into the game last night. I thought Jake played very, very well for Vancouver, so that's going to help them overcome some of this. But they had some other issues last night to injury, and we'll see how that plays out for Thursday.
I guess uncharted territory, Pierre, but every year is a test of depth, but even more so this year when it comes to injuries and condensed schedule and what could be a long haul for clubs?
Yeah, everybody that's talking about, oh, this cup isn't the same as all the other cups, this cup's going to be harder to win, trust me. And the people that are saying, well, no, there's going to be an asterisk, they're not going every day to the rink, not getting COVID tested every single day, not living in a bubble every single day. This is going to be the hardest Stanley Cup for anybody to win, ever. I'm telling you right now. This is a way different way of living. And the people that are saying, no, there's going to be an asterisk, they're not the people living in the bubble going through this every single day. I have so much respect for these players. First of all, I told you guys this yesterday, and I mean this sincerely. The league has done an amazing job. The healthcare professionals have done an amazing job. The volunteer level people have done an amazing job. This is an amazing experience, I'm just telling you. But this will be the hardest Stanley Cup ever to win.
Yeah.
This will be.
I'll be the first person to say when hockey games are boring. For the most part, I'm going to watch every single second of every game. Yeah. But the hockey's been fantastic through the first 4 days. I got to say, it is. These guys are going all out right now. Even if there is no atmosphere in the rink, the presentation coming through my television screen has been outstanding.
Well, JR, good for you for saying that. I will tell you this. I have so much respect for the players that are competing in this and the officials that are working this. This is not your run-of-the-mill every day to show up at the rink and play. There's a big effort that goes into getting to the rink in order to play. And I hope the TV networks are able to do a show show exactly what's going on every single day, because this is way different than anything everybody knows. But I love the way the players are sacrificing. I love the way the players are competing, and again, the respect level that I have anyways for these young men in particular is phenomenal.
When you say the players getting tested every day, are they getting like a nasal swab? Is it a saliva test? Is it just a temperature check?
No, good question. So everybody gets a temperature check every single day. You can't get into the pod. You can't get into the tunnel chain unless your temperature is a certain level. You can't leave your hotel lobby. You have to have it on your screen, on your iPhone. Their thermometer gauges all over. It's from a company called Clear. So I'm part of that system, too. Everybody that lives in the pod lives through that. So you can't leave your hotel until you show a security guard that you are temperature-free, number one. Number two, you get to the arena, and in order to get into the event area, you have to get either a nasal swab or a throat swab. There's no saliva swab. This one.
Right.
So you're either getting something probed into your nasal cavity or probed down your throat every single day. I've been doing it now for 12 or 14 days, I think it is, or 12 days, I forget now. But whatever, that's what everybody's doing that's in the pod system here.
And how soon do you get your results back?
You can't get into the rink the next day unless you're clean.
Right.
So there have been zero positive tests so far.
Pierre, watching the Leafs last night, how impressed with them? And going into this, I know they work hard. Did we look past the fact that the Columbus Blue Jackets in the regular season really couldn't score goals, and this is going to be a major problem for them right now?
I don't know about that. They play a certain way. They play a certain style. I know John wasn't happy with their game last night. I watched the whole game probably like you did, John. You know, Coach Tortorella was very, very upset. I didn't think they played the same game as they did in game one. They don't have a lot of pure scores, but I look at, you know, Oliver Bjorkstrand. Here's a guy that, you know, was a 50-plus goal scorer with the Portland Winterhawks. His time in major junior hockey, he was a tremendous international player. So you look at, they've got guys that have the ability. Pierre-Luc Dubois is another guy that can score, and that's one of the reasons why he was drafted third overall. But they're not, are they the best offensive team in the league? No. A lot of their offense comes from their defense. Zach Werenski, Seth Jones, David Savard. But they're going to have to find a way to be better offensively than what they were last night. They didn't compete at the same level last night as they did in Game 1, and Toronto deserves credit for that. Toronto played much better in Game 2 than they did in Game 1.
Yeah, and to that, Pierre, I'll use Dubois as an example. 49 points in the regular season, 71 games is actually their leading point getter. Can you ask somebody like that to go head-to-head with Austin Matthews the entire night and have expectations that he's actually going to create anything?
No, that's a hard ask. It's a big ask, especially for a young player. But they're two guys who were drafted in the same draft. So they're basically in their own peer group. One of the things that I think that's happened for Columbus in particular is they've relied more on defense matchups than offensive matchups. I wouldn't be surprised to see John change out of some of the matchups that he's helped create at the forward position. But again, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. This is going to be more of a chess match kind of a series, I think. Even though Toronto's got more of the offensive skill, I think the grinding, the grit skill is probably leaning towards Columbus. The coaching experience is probably leaning a bit towards Columbus. So there's going to be some things that happen before game number three is played that are going to be, I think, is going to be very, very interesting to watch.
Jake Muzzin was stretchered off. The word from the hospital where he was taken was that he was alert and had feelings in extremity. So that's positive, and we'll get an update this morning. Pierre, yeah, though, if he is out either due to a physical injury or because he has to go into quarantine because he went outside the bubble, and misses one or more games, what impact would that have on the Leafs' blue line?
Pretty significant. I mean, you know, Jake's obviously probably their most physical defender. PP's most of their matchup situation on the back end. So I think it would have a, you know, pretty significant effect on the Toronto Maple Leafs. But JR, when I was watching and I saw that whole play happen, that was just an unfortunate. There was nothing malicious, nothing dirty, just so everybody understands. That was just really, really a tough situation. He looked like he was moving, which was really good. His hands and his feet and his extremities, which is obviously very positive. And I think there was a lot of precautionary work going on, which is the trainer's opportunity to be very professional. I thought the trainers were very, very professional in that situation.
Pierre, if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, from a competitive standpoint, are you lobbying the National Hockey League to make sure that he is not able to play for 4 days and can't play Thursday, Friday?
I'm sure behind the scenes there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. As you know, you've been through the process. You know, I watched, I did the Vancouver Minnesota game very late last night, and I showed tape of what happened to Elias Pettersson from game one, and how he was physically, you know, beat down. And I showed that, and in Minnesota took a penalty right away, Jordan Greenway, for coming up high on him. And I said right on the broadcast, I said, this is an example of lobbying. You know, if that's any other player, you know, on Minnesota, probably not going to happen. But because it's their biggest guy, Jordan Greenway, he's going to get a penalty. Because I'm sure Vancouver lobbied and showed the tape to the league saying, look at what they're doing to this guy. I mean, this isn't fair. This isn't right. So, as you know, Sean, for the listeners, lobbying happens all the time between games in a playoff series.
Calgary beat Winnipeg 6-2 in the game in the bubble before your game. This appears to be, Pierre, on the surface, a very Jekyll and Hyde series. Do you have any concept of where we're going with Game 4 and potentially Game 5?
I do. I just think the physical attrition has been so large for Winnipeg. I think it'd be very, very difficult for them to win, you know, a Game 4, but we'll see. The fact that 2 and 3 were back-to-back was very, very difficult for Winnipeg. The fact that they were able to win Game 2 without Mark Scheifele, in particular, was huge for them. Obviously, Patrick Laine is another important player for them. But the atrophy that's going on with Winnipeg's roster is just overwhelming. I mean, they lost players again yesterday. Matthew Perreault, I don't think, will be able to play again. You know, Tucker Pullman getting hit right in the face with a slap shot. Up close, and the fact that kid came back and played is just phenomenal, just overwhelmingly phenomenal. So the attrition rate for Winnipeg has been huge, and behind the play, you don't see this on TV, but I'm in the rink watching. Their guys are dragging, getting off the ice. They're running out of gas. They're running on fumes right now. So I'd be shocked if Winnipeg were able to win Game 4.
For the Rangers, disappointment in the Kreiders, maybe Panarin, Zibanejad, that they lost, or should we just give full marks to Carolina being a superior hockey club?
Yeah, I'm not going to go negative on the Rangers because I think they're set up to be so darn good. I just think Carolina was much better, and I think last year's playoff experience for Carolina helped them a lot, especially beating Washington the way they did last year. I did that series, and the way they won on the road in Washington was just phenomenal in a closeout game. But no, I would never disrespect what Carolina was able to do. And Sebastian Aho is just such a darn good player. He's such a good player. And you look at what they did with their additions on defense, Joel Edmondson, Sammy Vatanen, and, you know, those guys really stepped up. And I just think that, you know, they're a way undervalued team, and he's a tremendous coach. Rod Brindamore, just an outstanding coach.
I'm awarding Sebastian Aho the Pierre McGuire Trophy as the most valuable player of the play-in series. It'll be the only time it's ever awarded. what games do you have today?
I go watch them all, but I have the late game tonight, so Chicago and Edmonton.
Right.
But I'll be at the rink starting bright and early. Well, not for you. It'll be later for you, but I'll be there bright and early.
All right. Enjoy the games as always. Always appreciate the insight, and look forward to chatting with you again tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Jared. Thanks a lot, Sean.